Begin the current daf Masechta Tzivah, Masdaf Ayin Hey. Begin on the third line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara had introduced the second halacha of our Mishnah in this Perek Aral, which was that someone that's Tameh, a Kohen, that's ritually impure, is not allowed to partake from Truma. Now, our Gemara in the previous daf discussed more than one pasuk that's a source for this halacha, which now the Gemara on this daf, which will specifically open up now with this halacha, will ask, regarding the conclusion, when we take all the psukim involved, then v'tlasa kroy b'truma. Regarding the fact that we have three different psukim telling us the same halacha seemingly regarding truma, there is one pasuk that says b'kodshim lo yoichel adasha yitar, which we had explained in the previous daf is a reference to truma, and the reason is because there in the pasuk it says that it's a reference to zera aharon, which we said is a reference to something that applies to all the children of Aaron, whereas kodshim is only for the males and for a woman that got married to a non-Kohen who comes back, could not come back for the Chaz of a Shaykh. So we said that it's clearly talking about someone that it's allowed for all the descendants of Aaron the Kohen, which is a reference to Truma. There the Pasuk says, if someone's Tameh, where it spoke about a Zav and a Mitzayra, that cannot eat from Truma, Adesh Yitter. So that's one source. There's another Pasuk later on over there, which says, Uvo HaShemesh V'Tahir. Again, that a Kohen that's Tameh cannot eat Truma until they become Tar. Then there's a third pasuk which we discussed in the previous daf, which when it speaks about a yeladis, a woman that gave birth, also she's tamei, and therefore ad meloisi mei tahara, until she becomes tar, she cannot partake from truma. So that, the Gemara's question is, lamali, why do I need three different sukkim to teach the same halacha? Again, we're discussing the second halacha of our Mishnah, that a tamei is forbidden to partake of truma. So why do we need three different sukkim telling us seemingly essentially the same halacha? So the Gemara said, tzrichi, you need to have all three sukkim to specify every detail of this halacha. As the Gemara explains, di'ime ad asher yitar. Let's say we had the first pasuk we mentioned, which is by that of togma truma zera aharon, that cannot partake of it, lo yoichel ad asher yitar. Well then, lo havi adana b'mai, we would not have known what exactly is the conclusion of the tahara process necessary for somebody to be able to eat truma. It says ad asher yitar, until they become pure. Now, what is that? So in that kasher rachmana, that's why we need the other pasuk to say uvo hashemesh v'toher, that when there's sundown, then the person becomes tar, then they could eat truma. Now we know what that is that the first pasuk was telling us. Now vei kasher rachmana uvo hashemesh, and had only said the second pasuk uvo hashemesh. Now hanamili, I would have thought to say the lav bar kapara. That is, as we explained in the previous daf, that whole pasuk, that parasha was talking about of Azav and Mitzayra, that they're not allowed to partake, that these Zera Aharon that are Kahanim or Kahanois cannot partake from Truma. There it's talking about Azav that only had two emissions, a Mitzayra that was only Musker, only sequestered, and someone that was Tamei from a Sheretz or Tamei from a Mess, where they're not B'nei Kapara. In other words, for them to become pure, they need immersion in the mikvah, and they need to wait a certain amount of time. But there's no carbon they have to bring after that. Maybe there is what the pasuk is telling you, that uvo hashemesh v'toher. All you need is sundown. Avod debar kapara, but regarding the individual, that there's three stages to the tahara process, the immersion in the mikvah, there's waiting for sundown, and then there's also carbon they have to bring. Ema demaisa kapara, so I would thought to say that for them to eat truma, it's not enough for sundown. They actually need to have their carbon brought first. Zachman Admalai says we need a third pasuk, which says until the conclusion of the days of that Yeledis has to wait till she could bring her carbon and purify, that even though Yeledis that has to bring a carbon, a woman that gave birth, her tahara is already sundown the evening before, which is either after day 80 for a female or 40 of a male, then the next day is when they can bring the carbon, but sundown of that day, the night before, they can already partake of Trumo, that's enough, where the Vo HaShemesh, that's what the word Admalois, is the conclusion of the days, even before the carbon is brought, which we said she's like a Tful Yom Arach, when she immersed herself in day 7 by a male, meaning by a boy son, or from a female, 14 days, all the way through day 40 or 80, either depending if it's a male or female, respectively, then that night, when it's Malois, when the days are concluded, she's mutter to have Truma. Now, V'ikas Rachman ad Malois, and if we only had, which if you're saying that one, you would know all the cases. Just say the one by the Yeledis, that even the Yeledis that needs a kapara, needs a carbon, even she's enough to eat Truma, even if she didn't have her carbon yet, and sundown. What do you need the other psukim for? And that the Gemara says, Havamina, a filibulate tefillah. If we only had that pasuk, It sounds like when her days are completed, even if she didn't immerse herself in the mikvah first, once she reaches the night of after day 80 or day 40, and the next day she can bring her carbon, even if she didn't immerse herself in the mikvah, she's allowed to partake from truma. That's what we needed the first pasuk to tell us, that no, you have to make yourself pure. Now, what is that? Well, that's immersing in the mikvah. Now, but however, we would not have known that that's the conclusion of the tahara. We would have thought maybe that's the end of it. That's what we needed the second pasuk to say, no, you need to have sundown too. And that's what we need the third pasuk too, to tell you that even if it's someone, that's mechutz kippur. So that's why we need all these three psukim to tell us the halacha that a kayin that's tameh is not allowed to partake from truma until they become tar, again, which is sundown. However, now the Gemara asks, that was only good according to the interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel, which we brought on the previous daf. But ulahach tana de poligal the tana Rabbi Shmuel, there's actually a tana that argues on the brayse of Rabbi Shmuel. The amen that he qualifies the pasuk that we mentioned first, which was by Zera Aharon, and we said that it's told by a Zav and by a Metzaira, where Rabbi Shmuel had said, well, wait, the other element in that pasuk is Tamei Meis. Tamei Meis is only someone that doesn't need a carbon. So that Rabbi Shmuel said, there must be the other elements in the pasuk too, of Zav and Metzaira, also those that don't bring a carbon, which is a Zav that only had two Re'ez, or Metzaira that was only Musker, which is that they're sequestering him to see if he's really a true Metzaira or not. But there is an opinion that argues in that. And the Amar that he says, no, that Bezav Bal Gimel Re'ez. Actually, that pasuk is talking about a Zav that had three Re'ez who brings a carbon, Uber Metzaira Mukhlid, and it's talking about by a Metzaira that was already confined and that it was defined that he is a full-fledged Metzaira, where it also brings a carbon. And that's what our custom adab, that's what the pasuk's talking about over there. So now we have a different question. According to that opinion, that there's no three psukim talking about truma, because one of those psukim actually is not going to be talking about truma. And therefore the question becomes, v'hai ada shayitar, actually that pasuk that says ada shayitar actually means ademaisi kapara. It means, what is the tahara process for a zav that has gimel re'ez, or for a mitzvah that's mukhlet? It's talking about when they finally bring their carbon. As Rashi says, it must be when it says at the shayitar that it means until you bring the kapara. Because it has to be talking about kodshim, karbanis, and not shum, as we had assumed in the beginning part of the Gemara, where the Gemara said, why didn't you three psukim? And we said that, how do we know that pasuk is talking about truma? Because it's a reference to those that don't have anything beyond sundown. Now, but based on the way this Tanu argues in Rabbi Shmuel, you have to say that if Ada Shayitar is the Tahara, now what's the Tahara for a Zav that has three Re'iyas, so Metzara Mukhlet is only when they finally bring their carbon, that's when they become Tar. Now, you have to say then the Pasuk is talking about Kachim, and not the way we had assumed that's talking about Truma, because Zera Haran is something for all the Zera, which is Truma, which because not every Zera Haran could have Kachim. And the reason is because we have another Pasuk that says clearly, Uva Hashem is Vatar. We know clearly that Truma, all you need for your Tahara to be able to eat Truma, is a Vashemesh of sundown. Because we said that Pasuk of Vashemesh of Tahara is talking about Truma. So when here we're saying that, no, the Zav that has three Re'ez and the Mitzera Mukhlet will only become Tahar, then they could partake from this Kaidish. What is Tahar for them? Tahar for them is bringing Kapara. And therefore, as we just explained, it must be Toma Kachim. So now we have a different question. According to that Tana, if so, Trey Kroy, two psukim bekachim, which is this new pasuk we have now, Adesha Yitar, again, it's not according to this Tanu who argues in Mishmal Toma Truma, as we just defined, it must be Toma Kachim, and we have the original pasuk we brought in the previous daf, that we had two psukim Bayiladas, we said one's Toma Truma, one's Toma Kachim, where it says V'chipra Lev V'tahera, that only after the Kayin that brings the atonement, which is the carbon that the Yeledis, the woman that gave birth, brings on the following day, then she's tar. Lamali, why do I need two psukim to say that an individual that's tummy that needs a carbon will not be able to partake of kachim until they have a kapar, until they bring their carbon? So I think my answer is tricky. You need both psukim, that by Yeledis and that by Zav and Mitzaira, where these individuals, one pasuk is Yeledis and one is by the other individuals, that they're not going to be able to partake of kachim until they have the kapara of their carbon being brought the following day. The ikaz rachmana by Yeledis, had we only had the pasuk by Yeledis, mishum de merubah tumasa, maybe there we would say that she needs to wait until her carbon is brought because she's a most stringent type of a tumah. How so? Because for 80 days, she has a long period of tumah, which you don't find anywhere else. For 80 days, she's not allowed to eat truma or kachim. if she had a daughter. Av bazav emaloi, but maybe by zav who's not tummy for such a long time period, maybe you would say it's not such a stringent tummy. Therefore, you don't need to have your carbon brought to be able to partake of kachrin. Maybe already from sundown you'd be able to. Now, because rachman bazav had, we said the halach only by zav, again, which is according to interpretation of the time that Augustin Bishmal, who's interpreting that pasuk in kachrin not on truma, as we had started off the gemara saying, that there you need to have a carbon to be able to eat your kachrin. Maybe that's because that's a string halacha. There is never an exception to the tumah of zav. Anytime you have this emission of zav from the member, you're tummy. But maybe I would say that's not the case by a woman that gives birth. And the reason is because yaledis is what's called hutum achlala. That there are times when what's actually making a woman generally tummy, but yaledis will be an exception, she won't be tummy. And that is, there's a time period from after day 7 by a son or by day 14 from a daughter through day 40 or 80 respectively, if she sees blood during those days, which generally makes a woman a nida, she'll actually be tahar for her husband. And that's the halacha mentioned in the Torah. But zav never has an exception, because every time it's coming out, he's going to be tummy. And therefore, maybe by letters, I would think that it's not as stringent, because it's hotem achlalei, and you would not have to wait till the carbon's brought to be able to eat kachem. So that's why we need both of these psukim, again, which is only the two, there's two psukim according to the Tanna, August and Mishmal, that says it's talking about zav of gimelriyas and mitzvah muchlid, which their adesh yitter means till they have their carbon, that only then could they partake of kachem, not of truma, because truma we have clear psukim that say it's by Harav Shemesh, by sundown. And therefore, we have two psukim, and we said, because you wouldn't have known one from the other, from Yeledis, from Zav, or Zav from Yeledis. Now the Gemara continues, explaining the different psukim that we have, how it fits in, why are they necessary. So there's a pasuk in Vayikra that starts off, this is Vayikra Yud Aleph Lamed Beis, that says, V'chol ha'sheyipol alav mehem b'maisim. Now, any object which will have a dead sheretz, one of these small creatures that have died that will fall on it, Yitma, it will become tummy. Mikol kli eitz, whether it's a wooden vessel, a beged, or a garment, or oir, or leather, or a sock, or a sackcloth. Kol kli ashiyasa malacha behem, any vessel which work is done with them. Now, then the pasuk concludes and it says, b'mayim yuva, so it's tummy, so you have to immerse it in water. V'tummy ad erev, and then it's going to be tummy until the evening. Now, obviously this pasuk is so much truma from the fact that you need to have sundown. We know Meister doesn't need, it's enough from the tefillah. We know Kachrim needs till the carbon is brought. So obviously if this kli is becoming tame, is that we're defining it, the tame until the evening, must be talking about truma. And the question is, lamali, why do I need another pasuk to tell me that something is tame for truma up until evening time? If we have the pasuk of Uvah HaShemesh V'Tahir, which says that after it immersed and you have sundown, then it's going to be tahar for truma. So Rabbi Zeri says, Linegia, says that we need it for a different halacha. Up until now, we had sources just regarding the consumption, the eating of truma. Because that's the pasuk of Yikrov Beis we mentioned before. It says, V'achar, and then afterwards, Yerichu Menachachim, then he could eat from that which is Kaddish, meaning a reference to truma. But this pasuk is talking about utensils. Now, obviously, utensils are not eating anything. So obviously, he's talking about regarding touching truma. Now, as Rashi says, it tells us in the context of vessels, but the same halacha would apply to a person that's a tefil yayim that immersed himself that day. Up until sundown, he's not allowed to touch truma. That's what this pasuk is teaching us, a different halacha. That yes, it will transmit truma up until sundown, not just for consumption being forbidden, but also for touching. As the Gemara says at the time, like Linda Brisa, the pasuk starts off, b'mayim yuva, as we just quoted this pasuk, that it should be, this utensil should be immersed in water. Then it says, v'tamei, which sounds like that even after you immerse this utensil in the water, it's going to be tame. Now, and that the Brisa says, Yachala Koil, so you would think for everything, every halacha, this utensil will be tame, even after it's immersed up until sundown. Tamaloima, but that's what the pasuk uses the words, after it says, B'mayim yuva v'tame ado arv, it says, v'tahir. Now, as Rashi says, from the fact that it doesn't say v'tahir in the future tense, and then it'll be tar, so it sounds like that v'tahar, that it was tahar, that meaning even before sundown, it was tahar. Now, even tahar, but if we only had that last word in the pasuk that says that it was tahar, even before sundown, well, yachal akal, you would think it was tahar for everything. Tamalim v'tame. That just says, no, even after immersing in the mikvah, it's still tame. You need to have sundown. So how do we resolve these two different understandings in the pasuk, which one is sounding like it's only tar after sundown. One sign gets tar even before sundown. So that the Brisa says, Kan Lamaiser, must be that the one that says all you need is to have is immersion in the mikveh, then it's tar even before sundown as regards to Meiser Shani. And Kan Latruma, the inference of the Pasik that sounds like you need to have sundown is Torah in regards to Truma, which again, this is the source that we're discussing from the Brisa. As the Gemara continues, maybe I would say the exact opposite. Maybe say that Meiser needs sundown in regards to touching, and that Truma only needs the Tefillah regards to touching. And the Gemara says, no, Mistab, it's logical to say, just like we illustrate on the previous staff, that it's more stringent the consumption of Truma, which requires sundown, than the consumption of Maisa that all needs is Tefillah, as the Gemara brought in the previous staff from different Pesukim. So, Hachanami, Chamir, Negiya, the Truma, Negiya, the Maisa, that therefore, her also, it makes sense as a logical sequence, where here we're talking about the prohibitions of touching, that the stringer inference is regards to Truma, and the one that only needs Tefillah is regards to Maisa. Now, again, that's what Reb Zeira says. We asked, what do we need that Pasuk for? So he said, we need to have that Pasuk regarding touching Truma, which that we didn't have a source yet, and that's why we needed another Pasuk. Or the Gemara says, V'ibai Seima, if you want, you could bring a source to this halacha that Reb Zeira was saying to explain the Pasuk we brought before. Actually, the halacha of the prohibition of someone Tomei touching Truma, we don't actually have to learn it out from that Pasuk. Actually, Negiya de Truma, this that someone that's a Tful Yom, whether it's a person or an object that immersed themselves that day but didn't have sundown yet, that will be forbidden to touch Truma, is Mahacha Nafka. Actually, it's learned out from a different Pasuk. As we learned in the Braisa, this Pasuk talks in the context of a Yoledis, a woman that gave birth. So it says, Machal Kodesh Leisiga. It says, regarding any holy thing she shouldn't touch. Now, that the Braisa says, actually, although it used the words that she shouldn't touch, actually, it says, Harla Eichel. It's a prohibition, it's a warning that she shouldn't eat Truma. Now, a Yeledes, for the time period of when she had immersed herself in the mikvah on day 7 or 14, up until day 40 or 80, respectively, she's not allowed to eat Truma in that whole time period because she's considered what's called a Tvulas Yom Arach, almost like a one long day she's having, because her sundown doesn't take effect until the end of day 40 or day 80, even though she's immersed weeks before. So, just like any Tful Yom, is not allowed to go ahead and eat Truma because you need sundown. That's saying also over here that Tvulas Yom Arach, a long time period, also cannot eat. And that's actually the understanding of the Gemara on top of this Amud, which we had mentioned on the previous staff. The Taisa says that's why when it talks about Gieris and Shifcha Meshachreres, how we know that the Pesukim there are talking about Truma, which wouldn't apply to them, even though they're allowed to touch Truma, because they're not Tame, it's regarding the consumption of Truma. And that's because a Gieris and Shifcha Meshachreres cannot go ahead and marry a coin. But be that as it may, the Brice is saying that actually, although it uses the words loisiga, it's a reference that the Yeledes, who is again a long Tvulas Yom, cannot eat Truma. Now that the Brice says, or Eina El Nageya, maybe, if you read, translate the words, it sounds like it's a prohibition for her to touch Truma. Now, and that's what the Brice says, Tamu Leima, but if you look at the Pasuk, you'll see that it's obviously talking about a prohibition of eating Truma. Because the Pasuk says, B'chol Kodesh Loisiga. That's what we mentioned. But then the Pasuk continues. It says, Vela Mikdash Leisava, and she, this Yoledes for this long period, cannot enter into the temple, into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what the Pasuk is doing is Makash Kodesh LeMikdash. It's equating defiling a holy object and a holy place. And that is just like someone that enters into the Beis HaMikdash in a status, Ma Mikdash, just like someone that's entering into the Beis HaMikdash, if they're Tamei, it's a davar sheyesh bo netilas neshama, that's a violation that makes a person lose his life because the person gets karis, as the pasuk says, mamidbu yotes v'nechresa ki es mikdash Hashem timei, you get karis. Saf kodesh, that must mean the first part of the pasuk, of b'chol kodesh leisiga, a violation of defiling an object that's kodesh, of holy, is also davar sheyesh bo netilas neshama. It's also something that the punishment will be that you lose your life. Now, ubenekiya, regarding touching something holy, netilas neshama leka, there's no violation of loss of one's life. So obviously it has to be talking about consumption in the state of Tumah, where by Kodesh, when it's Kachim, you get Karis, and when you eat Truma in the state of Tumah, you get Misa, as the Pasuk in Mirkach HaBeis says, U'mesu b'kich aluhu. So obviously it's a reference to the Yoledes not being allowed to eat Truma. Now, however, and this is what the Gemara is bringing, that you could bring the halacha of touching Truma from a different Pasuk, but v'hai de'afke b'losh negiya, but this that it uses it in the vernacular of touching, okay, so it's talking about eating, and you prove that from the Pasig, but why does it use the words leisiga? Achikamar, it's telling us negiya kachila, and that is just like whoever is forbidden to each truma, if you're a tefillas yom, or even in this case a tefillas yom arach, a long type of tefillas yom, you're also not allowed to touch truma. And this is the source of the other interpretation of the Gemara, two sources of how you know that someone that's tamei is not allowed to touch truma. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. So we spoke about on the previous dafim of an aral, someone that's uncircumcised, not allowed to eat truma. Now we just spoke about someone that's tamei, that's not allowed to eat truma. Then the Mishnah moved on regarding a petsua daka. And the Mishnah explains that the Gemara will elaborate on who's a petsua daka. So now the Gemara has the following question. One of the halachas mentioned regarding a petsua daka who has crushed testicles said that his wife is not allowed to eat truma. Now, however, the Mishnah says, v'im lo yada'a, if from the time that he became a petsua daka, let's say he married 5 years, and then suddenly one day he had an injury. If he wasn't intimate with his wife post that injury, so then she's allowed to continue eating truma. And that's in spite of the fact, and that's the premise of the Gemara's question, that the next time they will cohabit, she's going to be having a cohabitation with someone that makes her a halala, makes her, because a petsua daka is someone that's forbidden for a Jewish woman to have cohabitation with, and makes her a pasul, which that makes her into halala. So hence the Gemara asks as follows. Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that holds Mishtameris Labia Pesula Deiraisa? If a woman is anticipating, in other words, the next thing that's going to happen is that one day she's going to cohabit with this man who invalidates her on the biblical level, because a woman that has relations with a Petsua Daka, albeit it's her husband, makes her into a forbidden woman for Kahuna and for Truma. Yet in spite of that Achla, before she has that cohabitation, even though she's anticipating that, up until that she could go ahead and eat Truma, Amar Balazar, he says, b'machlekes shenuya. This was a machlekes we mentioned previously in Perek Habal Yevimta and Dafnun Vavam Beis, that said about an Amana that's engaged to a Kohen Gadol, or a Grusha B'chalutza that's engaged to a Kohen Hedyot. So he said, in that state of engagement, the Tanakama said, lo yechlo b'truma. They cannot eat Truma, because they're anticipating ultimately to consummate that relationship, and have Bia P'sula, which will make her, so even now she cannot. Whereas Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon said that it's kosher, and therefore Rebbe Elazar says, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, hey, obviously the Tana of our Mishnah, that even when you're being Mishtameris, Labiya Basula, you could continue eating until you're intimate, it's like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. However, Be'echel Amr, he argues. He says, no, Philatam Rebbe Meir, you could say that the Tana of Mishnah is even like Rebbe Meir, who he said in that case of Mishtameris, Labiya Basula, would invalidate you even now from Chuma. Because Shani Hacha, this case is different, Shekfa Achla. That case was when she was engaged. So she never yet ate. Question is, could she begin eating? Man, and then you're ready in the status when you just got engaged of Mishnah Meres Labi Pesula. So that Rameir said not. But here, for 5 years, let's say of marriage, she's been eating Truma. Then one day he gets this wound. So since, even though you're being Mishnah Meres Labi Pesula, but once you started, Rameir would agree you could continue eating. Now, Rebbe Elazar, who he says, no, it cannot be like Rameir. He says, Shekfa, Achalai, I mean, we don't say such a svara, such a logic, of that, oh, because she had already been eating, so now, even though she's Mishtameres Labi Basula, she could continue eating. And I'll prove it to you. Dilei Temehochi, because if you don't say like that, then Bas is Soshenis is Lekayin Umeis Baila, if a non-Jewish, a non-Kayin, a daughter of a non-Kayin gets married to a Kayin and then her husband dies, well then Teichel Shekvar Achla. We know the Halach is that once her husband dies, she cannot continue eating if she doesn't have children from him. But according to your logic, let her continue eating, since she has already started eating truma. So obviously your logic is faulty. Now Rabbi Yechonai says, no, that's not a good question. Because Hassim, when her husband dies, in that case you're asking from, Paka Kinyane, the acquisition, the whole halacha is from a Kinyan Kasboy, a Kohen that acquires an acquisition, one of them being a wife, so then they could eat truma. When he dies, the acquisition is removed, so of course she cannot eat. Hacha, but over here, by the case of Tzuadaka, Le Paka Kinyane, they're still married. She's still Kenyan Kasboy. The only problem would be is because she's Mishtameres Labi Basula. But that I'm telling you, that's no problem because she's Shekvar Achla. In the case you're asking Shekvar Achla, yeah, but there's no more Kenyan anymore. And therefore here, since it's already Kvar Achla, and it's not Paka Kenyanai, therefore she could continue, even according to Reb Meir, to eat Truma until she's intimate with him. Nothing more quotes in the Mishnah which qualified this halacha, that it said, Ezu Betzua. Who is this that's considered in this category of petsua daka, where the pasuk tells us that lo yavo b'kal Hashem, they cannot marry into the people, the general populace of the Jewish people, because of this wound that they have? So the Mishnah said, even if one of the testicles are wounded, already will make the man into a bitsua daka. Now, on that, the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates. Tarabana, izehu bitsua daka. So the brisa says, kol sheniftzu, any man that was wounded, which Rashi says is through a knife or through a sword, beitzim shaloi, his testicles. Now, v'fila achas, as our Mishnah said, even one of them. Now, the brisa says even more, v'fila nikvu, even if it's pierced. And v'fila nimaiku, even if they're dissolved. In other words, let's say because of a wound he got, but it didn't wound the actual testicles, but because of that they shriveled up and they got smaller, they dissolved. Or v'fila chasu, or even if just a part of it became deficient, it was missing, all these elements make the person into Betsua Daka and invalidates them from whatever halachas apply to a Betsua Daka. Now, Amir Bishmol B'nai Shabirchim B'Reki says, Shemati Mipi Chacham B'Ker Me'Yavni. He says, I heard from the mouths of the sages by the vineyard of Yavni. Now, that was because they used to sit in these types of rows, how a vineyard is planted in rows. So that's why it's called Ker Me'Yavni. He said, I heard from them that they said, Kol She'en Le'ila Be'ya Achas, an individual that only has one testicle, Eina Ela Sris Chama, in Halacha we only view him as a Sris Chama, which the word Sris means that he's sterile. Chama, there's different interpretations, but it means to say that through some natural occurrence. So this person that only has one testicle, who let's say was born like that, is like a Sris Chama of a caution, therefore he is valid to enter into the Kala of the Jewish people. There's no invalidations regarding him. Now the Gemara asks, Sris Chama Sokadaitach, did you really hear that? In other words, Sris Chama is someone that due to some heavenly intervention, in other words, through some type of an illness, not through an actual physical blow or injury, is someone that becomes a Sris Chama. Now, Sris Chama, although it affects his abilities, however, that's not like a Betsua Daka, which was an actual injury, and therefore that person is kosher, but this person that only has one testicle didn't come through an illness, he just only has one testicle. So since it didn't come through an illness, how could you say he's a Sris Chama? So El rather, what the Gemara says, what he was saying was, Harehu kis Sris Chama v'kasher. What he was saying was that this person that just has one testicle is like a Sris Chama, and that is the Torah only made a person forbidden if he's a Petsua Daka, in other words, if there was a wound, or if it was crushed, which is Dach, or Karas, or was severed. However, if it's a natural thing, the person was born with one testicle, or if some natural occurrence happens that affects the person's sterility, again, that would not make a person invalid. Now, however, the Gemara asked on one of these halachas that we said in the Braisa of Afila Nikfu, even if it was just pierced the testicles, it invalidates him, which obviously the premise of the halacha of Betsua Daka is because the person cannot go ahead and father any children. So the Gemara asked on that. V'nikiv le'mailit, is it really true that someone that has his testicles pierced cannot father children? But vahu gavra desolik ledikol, there was a certain man that climbed up a palm tree. Now we continue on Tamid Beis, v'charze silva bebeitzim. Now a thorn went and pierced his testicles, v'nafig minei, and then semen drew out from that hole, kechut demuglo, like a string of guk was oozing out. And in spite of that, voiled, the man post that incident fathered a child. So why are you saying that nikfu would make a person into this petsua daka and invalidating him? That the Gemara says, actually, hashalach Shmuel kamei de Rav. So Shmuel sent this in front of Rav regarding this shaila. Vamalein, he said to him, tsei v'chazal bonav me'ainhem, go out and inspect and find out whose children these are, because as Rashi says, obviously his wife committed adultery because actually nikfu, having that piercing, makes it impossible to father children. And therefore the fact that he had a child wasn't from him, it must have been from some other man. Now, Amar Yehuda Mer Shmuel says, Petsua Daka B'dei Shemaim, as we said before, that if, and this is a little bit different, this is actually if a person has an injury and becomes a Betsua Daka to his testicles, but if it happened B'dei Shemaim, in other words, as Rashi says, either through thunder or hail, or through an act of heaven in the sense of how the child was born, something in birth, kosher, then even though it's crushed or whatever it is, as long as it wasn't through a man-made type of injury, then the person is not considered Betsua Daka and is kosher lovei bakal. Now, Amar Rava, he says, in Hainu de Karina Betsua, that makes sense, because that's what the Pasuk says, that it's a petsua daka, v'loi karinin ha-petsua. Now, because had it said ha with the hay, then that would have sounded like someone that was always petsua. In other words, that was congenital, that was born like that. And that's why, from there, it said petsua, it sounds like that he became this, which means to say that something caused it, but if it was a natural thing, a B'dei Shemayim thing, then he wouldn't be a problem. That would only be Hapitzu, which the Pasuk doesn't say, and therefore he's Kash Lavik Bakal. A different source for this halacha, but Masnita Tamarim Abraisa, Nemar Lo Yovah Pitzur. The Pasuk says, a Pitzur Daka cannot come into the Kal. Now, but Nemar, the next Pasuk says, Lo Yovah Mamzer, that a Mamzer, illegitimate child, cannot come into the Kal. Now, therefore, we make the following comparison. Mala Halamadei Adam, just like over there, by a Mamzer. It was made by mankind. Hashem doesn't make illegitimate children. It's people that do that. Afkam B'dei Adam, therefore, the Pitzur Daka is also something that comes through mankind. That type of crushing or severing, that will make the person into Pitzur Daka, that's forbidden. But if it was natural, then they wouldn't make him into Pitzur Daka. Now, Amar Rava, Rava qualifies this halacha of Pitzur Daka, and he says, Pitzua, regarding this element of having a wound, being wounded, is bekulam, is regarding all the three elements of the fertility part of the person. In other words, it's regarding his beitzim, his testicles, regarding his gid, the member, and regarding chute beitzim, which are the testicle cords, that is, that the testicles hang from these cords inside the sac, inside the scrotum. So regarding pitzua, it's regarding any one of these three things. So to dach, when we say there's a that it makes him puzzle if it's crushed, it's also bekulin regarding all these three things. And karis, regarding severed, is also bekulin regarding all these three things. As the Gemara explains this, Petzua bekulon is bein shenivtza gid, is whether the member was wounded. Bein shenivtza beitzim, whether the testicles were wounded. Bein shenivtza chute beitzim, whether the cords were wounded. And dach bekulon, so too the halacha of it being crushed is by all of them. Bein shenidach gid, whether the member was crushed. Bein shenitchu beitzim, whether the testicles. Bein shenitchu chute beitzim, or whether the cords were crushed. And so to charis bekulon, the halacha of being severed applies to all these three different areas. If any one of them are severed, makes him into Pitzur Daka. Bein shenichas agid, whether the member was severed, bein shenichas ubeitzim, whether the testicles were severed, or bein shenichas uchute beitzim, whether it was the cords of the testicles. Now, the Gemara asks a general halacha in this whole halacha of Pitzur Daka. Amaleahum Rabban L'Rava. Mimai dehai Pitzur Daka b'isimakam. We have been taking for granted a certain premise that we said Pitzur Daka is a reference to the male's genitals. And then we said different characteristics, which parts and what does it. Maybe it's talking about his head. Who said Pitzur Daka, where you get a wound, is talking about the male member? So he said to him, no. And the fact that the Torah doesn't write, till how many generations is the Pitzur Daka considered a puzzle to come into the Jewish people? Like it does regarding other halachas, Adar Shlishi, Adar Asiri, like it says, by a Mamzer, or by a Moini, Mayavi, Mitzri, it says they're possible to come into the Kal up until these amount of generations or that. Now, from the fact that it doesn't mention how many generations, Shema Minot Boisim Akum, he says, so you can tell that it must be referenced that the wound was in his male member, and that's why it doesn't say how many generations, because he can't have any generations, because he can't have children. Now, that the Gemara asks, how do you know that? Maybe the reason why it doesn't say how many generations are forbidden from his descendants is because maybe de'ihu hu de'aser, because maybe actually only he's forbidden. Maybe this guy who got a bang in his head, because we're saying maybe Pitzur Daka is his head. And the fact that it doesn't mention to how many generations is because Berei u Barberei Kasher, maybe his son and his grandsons are Kasher. It's only this Pitzur Daka himself that's forbidden. And therefore, who said it's Ba'isim Malkum? Maybe it's talking about injury to his head. So rather, the Gemara says, the way we know this is because Dumi de Kroy Shafcha. The other one who's similar to the Pitzur Daka that's mentioned in the Pasuk is Kroy Shafcha. And Ma Kroy Shafcha b'Yisamakim, that it's a reference to the genital. So Av Heinami b'Yisamakim, here also it must be reference to that place. Now that the Gemara asks for Kroy Shafcha Gufim in Ma'ad b'Yisamakim. How do you know that this that it says Kroy, which literally means cutting, Shafcha from that which spills, how do you know it's in that place? Eimim Misifsei. Maybe say it's a reference to the person's lips, that if a person's lips, which spill forth the saliva, maybe if that's cut, if that gets cut, he's a Kray Shafcha. What was Shafach was cut, and he can't go ahead and marry into the Jewish people. No, that the Gemara says no, because Shafcha Ksiv. It says that it's a spiller, which means B'makim Sheshayfich. It's only in a place which spills, in other words, a person's mouth doesn't spill saliva. It actually spits it far away. And therefore, it can't be referenced to the lips, because the lips wouldn't be a spiller. It must be referenced to the male member. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, But ve'emim mechaymer. Then maybe say it's a reference to the person's nose, where mucus drips out. Maybe that's the spiller. Avet Gemara says no, because miksiv bishvoich. Does it say bishvoich karus? Which would sound like that it's a place which always spills, meaning even before that it was spilling, like a nose? No, kroy shafchik siv. It's saying that it cuts. Now it's shafcha. Meaning, misha al yidei krisa shayfich. We're talking about something that because it was cut, that now it only drips and pours out. But the inference of the pasuk is telling us, shaloy al yidei krisa eina shayfich. But if it wasn't cut, then it doesn't just drip out. El mikaleach. But it actually sprays, it spouts out. Lafuki hai, which includes the nose, the idvi idi, before it's cut, and after it's cut, shevichu, it's always spilling, and therefore must not be a reference to the mouth or to the nose, rather to the male member. And since we know kri shavch is a reference to that, so Petsuadaka is also a reference to the male member. Or another source that Gemara brings me, Masnita Tam, within the Braisa, again similar to the Braisa regarding the previous discussion, it says, Nema lo yove Petsuadaka. It says, first the pasuk of the prohibition of a Petsuadaka coming in and marrying it to the Jewish people. But Nema lo yove Mamza. The next pasuk says that a Mamza is not allowed to. Now we make a comparison. Just like a mamzer, as we said before, it's the Adam. He was saying it just like an illegitimate child is ba'isimakim. In other words, how does a mamzer come about? From the male member, which causes a mamzer. Safkan ba'isimakim therefore must mean that Petsuadaka is also a reference to that same place, and that's where the wound of the person is. Now the Gemara moves on to certain specific details in this psul, in this invalidation of a Petsuadak and a Krei Shafcha. So the Gemara says as follows. Nikev lamata me'atar. If someone gets pierced by the male member below the crown. Now the atar is the corona, which is a high ridge that's towards the end of the male member. Now if a person gets pierced, there's a hole that was pierced inside at the end of the member, which is lamata. Lamata is always when the male member is not erect, so then it's facing downwards. So when we're saying below it, we mean towards the ground. Now, so the person got a hole below the atar, again, towards the end of the gid. Then the hole goes diagonally, and it went towards upwards, and it came out shekenegdoi lamala me'atar. It came out that it went through one side of the male member, which was lower towards the end part of it. It came out above the corona, towards the body part. So we spoke about that nikiv could be an invalidating factor, making pesuadaka. But Savar B'chiyah Bar Abba Lach Shuri, he thought to say that this person is still kosher. Now the reason why he thought was because both ends of the hole were not above the atar, meaning higher up towards the person's body. And since part of it was, one hole was below the atar, now that's just flesh. That's not a significant factor affecting the person's fertility. And that's because, as we said in our Mishnah, we said in Nishtayim and Atar Malechud, we don't care if the whole part was there cut off. As long as there's a little bit left of the corona, then we said that the person's going to be kosher. So he thought, since the whole nikiv is not through and through above the atar, part of it's below, the person would be kosher. On that, Omali Rabasi told him, Nohacha Mibishum Levi, Atarom, that since the hole went through the entire face of the Atara from inside, although it was starting below, but it went through the entire face, then even if it's a hole that's Kol Shehi, it's going to be Ma'akevis, it's going to withhold his ability of fathering a child, and therefore that would include him in the category of Betsuadaka, and therefore the person would be Pas. Now the Mishnah continued and said, as we just referenced this halacha, v'im nishtayim ma'atara, if the person's aver got cut off towards the end, but if as long as there's just a little bit left, almost a hair's breadth of the corona left, then the person's going to be kosher. Now, Yasser Ravina v'kamei b'ayle, Ravina was sitting and was asking a question regarding this halacha. Melechut sha'amr, regarding this hair's breadth of corona that's necessary, of this part of the flesh of the male member that has to be left, that ridgy part towards the end, alpanei kula, did it have to be go around the entire circumference of the male member, that little bit left, or alpanei ruba, or is it enough to go around the majority? So Amalei Rabbi Tosfos Ravina says, maloi hachut alpanei ruba, all you need is for that that part of the corona to go around a majority, but uklape resha. It has to be towards the top part of it, meaning the part facing the person's body. Now, all you need is reva kefa, but however, if let's say the part of the corona, which connects towards the member that's towards the body, all of that was ripped off, and you only had like a hair's breadth from that Torah on the circumference from the other part of the male member facing towards the ground, then the person would be puzzled. So all you need is the majority of circumference, but it still has to be the part that's connected to the member that's closer to the person's body. Now, a different halacha regarding this, about his member getting injured, and regarding what would then qualify as Pitzudaka Kurashavka, so Rav Huna, he says, Kukulmas. If someone's member got sliced off like a quill, now the way a quill is made is that the edge is angled and it's made into a point. So if let's say the member was cut like a quill, so Rav Huna says Kshera, then the individual will still be kosher. But kamarziv, if it's made like into a gutter, which is that the inner part of the member is cut out and there's like walls on both sides and you have this hole within in the middle of the member, like a pipe, that's going to be psula. Now, Rav Huna explains the reasoning for this, because he says, hi, in the case of when it's like a marziv, which is like a gutter, it's problematic, because shalit ba'avira, that means to say that the ear can get into this area that's between the walls. Now, that makes that the gid, the member, will be cooled down inside. Hence, the semen cannot get, so to speak, cooked up. It cannot create this necessary element for it to create a viable child. But v'hai, this when the member is made like a quill, l'sholt ba'avira. Although it's cut off on the sides, but the ear doesn't get into the gid, and therefore the zera, the semen that's inside, could get cooked up appropriately, which can then father a child, so therefore he's not considered Petsuadaka Kreshavcha. However, Rav Chisdama, he argues, he says the opposite. He says, Kemarziv Ksher. He says, if it's like a gutter, the person's kosher, Kekum is Psula, but if it's like a quill, he's puzzled. And he explains, he says, hi, when it's made like a gutter, then gurid, then the semen can be drawn out of the body during intercourse, and it'll go ahead and create a child. And the reason is because since none of the thickness of the member is missing, so it touches the sides of the woman's womb, and because of by cohabitation, therefore that warms up the male member, which is a necessary ingredient for it to be able to shoot out like an arrow. So therefore that could create a child. But vahai, when it's shaped like a quill, since it's missing the thickness on the edges, so it doesn't touch with the woman during the cohabitation, so like gored, so it's not going to be getting that traction, it's not going to be heated up appropriately, and therefore it's not going to be able to shoot forth from the body, it's just going to drip out, and that's not mazriya, that's not going to be able to create a child, and therefore that will be a puzzle, and therefore it's the opposite of Rav Huna. Now Amar Rava, Rava concludes this, kavaseid Rav Huna mistab, it's more logical to say like Rav Huna, that kukumis is kosher and like a marziv is psula. And the reason is, as we said before, hi leshol ba'avira. Kumis, the ear doesn't get inside. So whatever's being done inside for fertility will still be going on. But v'hai shol ba'avira, regarding marziv, that's problematic. The ear can get in and it's going to affect what has to be working. Now, imishum gridus, and if you're going to say what Rav Chisda's taina was, yeah, but if you have like a quill, it's not going to get the traction necessary to create the heating up of the member to be able to shoot forth like an arrow. That's not a difficulty. Because midi dehava barza dechavit, it's essentially the same thing that happens by a spigot from a barrel, where the spigot that's put into the barrel is narrow and thin in the front end of it. Now, it doesn't end up touching the walls of the hole of the barrel up until the back parts. However, but once you stick it in, all the way in the end, it's touching the thicker part. So too over here, where, yes, the front end of the member is not going to be touching the walls of the woman, but it's going to get heated up from the end part, because since like a quill, the end part towards the back is still thicker, which that's going to be touching. That's enough to get that traction to create the heating up of the male member to be able to have the zera being mazriya, and therefore it says more logical like Rav Huna.
Now, Amar Rabbeinu LeMeremer, he says, Hoche amazut mishmeder apapa. Actually, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Bein kekumas, bein kemarzav kshira. Both of them are actually kosher. But mi boyle, one question he had was, if this cutting of the member, whether like a gutter or whether like a quill, was that talking about only lamata miatar, below the lower part, below the corona? If that's cut like a quill or like a gutter, then he's going to be kosher? Or even, was he talking about even in the higher part, above the corona, towards the body, even if that was cut out like a gutter or shaped like a quill, even that would be kosher. Now, however, the Gemara says, pshita de lamala matar. Obviously, it's talking about above the atar. Because isa gadar de lamata matar, if you would entertain that it's only talking about below the atar, how can you say that? Even if the entire part over there, below that tar, would be cut off entirely, even then it would be kasha, as the Mishnah said, that you could have the whole thing cut off. As long as you have just a hair's breadth of the corona, it's going to be kasher. Now, obviously, that you don't need to have it, that we wouldn't be saying any chidush of marziv or kumis below it. And the Gemara says, you're right. Obviously, we're talking about above the corona. But Ravina l'shabushi l'meremer hudabai, he wanted to confuse meremer. In other words, he wanted to see if he was sharp enough to be able to answer appropriately and say, obviously, it's talking about above, because below, what do you mean? Even the whole thing was cut off, it wouldn't be a problem. Now, the Gemara brings the story, actually, that hahu uvdid dehava b'masa mechasya, a certain incident with an individual in masa mechasya, where his member was like a marzab, like a gutter. Now, shafya ma'baravashi, what ma'baravashi did was he cut the flesh on both sides, on all sides. No, what he essentially did, he took away the walls of the gutter, which was essentially what the male member was like then, and he made it kakulmas, he made it into like a quill, v'achshrei, and thus he made a kasha like Rav Huna, who said it has to be like a kulmas. So although it was like a marzer, which is possible, but he cut it away so that you don't have those walls anymore, and it was just like a quill, and since it's like a quill, then it's going to be kasha. A different incident, hahu uvdudavah b'pum b'disa, that is statim gufsa, that the tube of the shechva zera, of the semen, got clogged up. Now, there's a hole that, there's two different tubes, and one of them is the tube that's fit to have the semen come out from the male member, that got clogged up. Now, so it got backed up, the apik, and then the keri, the semen came out, b'mokim ketanim, in the place where the man usually urinates from. Now, Rashi brings from Brisa Masechtas Becheiros that says that there are two tubes in the male member. One releases the urine, and one releases the semen. And between them, there's like a small membrane that separates them. Now, one of them got clogged up, so it backed up, and then it broke into the other tube, that of the urine. That's where the semen was coming out from. Now, the Chazanish does say that nishtana teva, and it's not like that anymore. It comes out by men today from the same one. But in the Talmudic times, that was the metzias. And this individual, instead of coming out from where the semen should, it came out from the other tube. So Savar Rabbi Barbai Lakshur, Rabbi Barbai thought to say that this person is going to be kosher because he doesn't fit into the halachic category of patsua, it wasn't crushed, it wasn't severed. So although he is having problems with his male member, but that shouldn't make him into the psul. On that, Amar Papi says, Mishum da also, we continue to talk about Vayin Vomit Alf, Mimuloi, since you come from the cutter of people, meaning from the household of Eli, which the Gemara says himself as Rosh Hashanah, that Abai and Rava came from base Eli, where they lived shorter lives, Amritu Milim Uliyasa, so you say cut off types of words, meaning mistaken statements? How can you say that? The semen only gets cooked up, in other words, creating a viable semen to make a child, only in its place, coming out from the appropriate tube. If it's coming out from the wrong place, it's coming out from where the one urinates, not from when the semen's coming out, it will not be able to create a viable child, and therefore, of course, this person will be pasul, like a Betsudaka and Kori Shavcha, which the main element is that this person cannot father a child, and such a person is pasul, love it, Bakal.